Hey everyone, thanks for joining us for this deep dive. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Today we're diving into an article that you sent our way. It's called Green Hydrogen in Transportation, A Cleaner Future from Hydrogen Informs.
It's a great article, really timely.
It is, and you know, it's no secret that we need to clean up transportation, like big time. In Europe, for instance, a quarter of all emissions, that's a huge chunk, come from vehicles.
Yeah, transportation is a major piece of the puzzle when it comes to decarbonization, for sure.
And the article pointed out this really wild stat. The UK gets over 92% of its transportation energy from fossil fuels. Like, that's practically the whole thing.
It really highlights the scale of the challenge we're facing.
It does, but the article also suggests that green hydrogen might just be the game changer we've been waiting for.
There's a lot of excitement around green hydrogen, and for good reason. It has the potential to really transform how we get around.
Right. So for anyone who's maybe new to this whole hydrogen thing, the article does a nice job of breaking it down. Basically, you use renewable energy sources like solar or wind power to split water molecules.
That process is called electrolysis.
And get this, the only byproduct from fuel cell electric vehicles running on green hydrogen is water vapor. It's clean, like in the truest sense.
It really is a fascinating closed loop system, which is a huge win for the environment.
Huge win for Team Planet Earth, for sure.
Absolutely. And the article highlights how this makes green hydrogen especially promising for sectors like long-haul trucking and heavy-duty applications, those big rigs hauling freight across continents.
Right. Think about the distances and the weight they're moving. Battery electric vehicles would really struggle with the range and charging times needed for that kind of journey.
Exactly. That's where green hydrogen fuel cell vehicles, or FCEVs as they're often called, could really shine.
So it's like a marathon versus a sprint, and hydrogen seems built for endurance.
That's a good way to put it.
The article did mention, though, that for lighter vehicles like passenger cars, battery electric seems like it's going to be the dominant technology, at least for now.
Yeah, for personal cars and shorter commutes, battery electric makes a lot of sense.
So do you think both technologies can coexist, or will it be a battle for the road?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? What's important to remember is that both FCEVs and battery electric vehicles ultimately serve the same purpose, reducing our reliance on fossil fuels. They're both on Team Planet Earth, so to speak.
I like that, Team Planet Earth. It's not us versus them. It's all of us working toward a cleaner future.
Exactly. And I think the article does a good job of laying out the strengths of each technology. Battery electric is great for personal cars and shorter commutes, but for moving heavy loads across vast distances, FCEVs running on green hydrogen become very appealing.
Totally. And the article points out that green hydrogen's potential goes way beyond just roads. We're talking aviation and shipping, too.
Yeah, those are two sectors that have proven really tough to decarbonize. And green hydrogen presents some really exciting possibilities.
Imagine airplanes and cargo ships crisscrossing the globe without spewing out all that harmful CO2. It's mind-blowing.
It is. The article discusses how hydrogen could be used in aviation for both combustion engines and fuel cells for shorter flights. Fuel cells would be more efficient, while longer-haul journeys might be better suited for thermal conversion.
Wow. So we could be flying across continents on hydrogen someday.
It's definitely within the realm of possibility.
What about the maritime sector? How does the article see hydrogen playing out on the high seas?
It highlights the potential for hydrogen fuel cells to power a whole range of vessels, from ferries to those massive cargo ships, significantly reducing their carbon footprint. There's even research happening around technologies that can break down methane into hydrogen, which could be a stepping stone towards truly green shipping.
It sounds like green hydrogen has the potential to transform pretty much every aspect of transportation, but the article doesn't shy away from the challenges, does it?
No, it doesn't, and I think that's important. Green hydrogen isn't a silver bullet, at least not yet.
So let's talk about those hurdles. The article mentions the cost of production being a major obstacle. Even though renewable energy is getting cheaper, scaling up green hydrogen production is still a costly endeavor, right?
That's right. Electrolysis. The process of splitting water to create hydrogen requires a significant amount of energy. We're making great progress with renewable energy, but producing green hydrogen at a cost that can compete with fossil fuels remains a challenge.
And then there's the issue of storage and transportation. Hydrogen is flammable and doesn't pack as much energy per unit of volume as something like gasoline. What are the implications of that?
You've hit on another key challenge, that low volumetric energy density means you need larger tanks to store the same amount of energy compared to conventional fuels. And its flammability requires very robust safety measures for both storage and transportation. These are not insignificant hurdles.
So we've got some serious obstacles to overcome, but the article also pointed to some pretty cool innovations happening in the field. What caught your eye?
Well, there's a lot to be excited about. Researchers are exploring alternative production methods like solar water splitting, where sunlight is used directly to split water molecules. We could be producing hydrogen directly from the sun.
That's incredible. What are the implications of a breakthrough like that?
It could completely change the economics of green hydrogen production. Imagine decentralized hydrogen production, where homes and businesses could generate their own fuel. It's a fascinating possibility, and the innovation doesn't stop there. There's also a lot of research into using AI to discover cheaper, more efficient materials for electrolysis machines.
It sounds like a lot of brain power is being dedicated to making green hydrogen a viable solution, but even with all these innovations, the article stresses the importance of infrastructure. We'd need refueling stations, storage facilities, pipelines, a whole new network.
Absolutely. Building out the necessary infrastructure is vital for green hydrogen to succeed. We need a robust network of refueling stations, storage facilities, and distribution systems to support widespread adoption. It's a massive undertaking. And that raises an important question. What are the major roadblocks in building this infrastructure? And what can we do to speed things up?
That's a great question. And it makes me think, who are the key players who can make this happen? We're talking energy companies, automakers, governments, researchers. They all have a part to play, right?
Absolutely. Each stakeholder brings unique strengths to the table, and collaboration is key. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Building out a green hydrogen infrastructure, it's a massive collaborative effort. Like, we're creating a whole new energy ecosystem, not just tweaking the one we already have.
Yeah.
The scale of it all is a bit mind-boggling. We need production facilities, storage hubs, pipelines. It's huge.
And let's not forget about those refueling stations for all the hydrogen-powered vehicles that we're dreaming of. I can't say I've seen one popping up in my neighborhood just yet.
Yeah, it's still early days, but you're right. The lack of easily accessible refueling infrastructure is a real roadblock for people considering FCEVs right now. It's that classic chicken and egg scenario. People hesitate to buy hydrogen cars because there aren't enough refueling stations, and companies are hesitant to build those stations because there aren't enough hydrogen cars on the road.
So how do we break through that stalemate? The article touched on the idea of government policies being a potential catalyst.
Absolutely. Government policies and incentives can play a crucial role in jumpstarting the hydrogen economy. Think back to the early days of electric vehicles. Governments offered subsidies and tax credits to make those cars more attractive to buyers. Those early incentives were instrumental in getting EVs off the ground. Similar policies could be a game changer for green hydrogen.
So we need a multi-pronged approach support for innovation policies to make green hydrogen more affordable and a concerted effort to build out the infrastructure to make it all work. But wouldn't that require an unprecedented level of coordination between different stakeholders?
It would indeed. And this is where I found the article particularly insightful. It highlighted some really interesting collaborations happening right now, partnerships between energy companies, automakers, and even governments, all working together to accelerate the adoption of green hydrogen.
It's like a massive team project, and everyone needs to bring their A game. What are some of the key challenges these collaborations need to tackle?
I think one of the biggest challenges is tailoring solutions to different regional contexts. What works in one part of the world might not be effective in another. Different countries have different energy landscapes, policy frameworks, and even consumer preferences. A one-size-fits-all approach just won't cut it.
That makes sense. A country with abundant renewable energy resources might focus on scaling up green hydrogen production, while a country with a well-developed natural gas infrastructure might explore blending hydrogen into existing pipelines as a transitional strategy.
Precisely, it's about leveraging existing strengths and finding the most effective pathway for each region. And that requires a deep understanding of local conditions, which is where collaboration between governments and industry becomes so crucial. But it's not just about navigating regional differences. There are also some fundamental questions we need to grapple with.
You're right. Even with all the technological advancements and collaborative efforts, there are still some big unknowns. For example, how do we ensure that the transition to a hydrogen economy is equitable and benefits everyone? How do we manage potential job displacement as certain industries evolve? These are complex social and economic issues that need to be addressed.
Absolutely. A sustainable transition to a green hydrogen future needs to be a just transition, and that requires open dialogue, thoughtful policymaking, and a commitment to inclusivity from all stakeholders.
It seems like there are so many moving pieces to this puzzle: the technological advancements, the infrastructure development, the policy considerations, the social and economic implications. It can feel overwhelming.
It's definitely a complex landscape, but that's what makes it so fascinating.
Right.
And it's why these deep dives are so important. By exploring these complexities, by asking tough questions, by engaging in open dialogue, we can start to connect the dots and chart a course towards a truly sustainable future.
And sometimes it's helpful to step back and remind ourselves why we're embarking on this journey in the first place. We're talking about cleaner air, healthier communities, and a more sustainable planet for future generations. Those are goals worth striving for, even if the path ahead is challenging.
Couldn't agree more. And even with all the complexities, I'm feeling optimistic. The progress being made in green hydrogen technology is remarkable, and the growing collaboration between stakeholders is truly inspiring.
It's like we're witnessing a paradigm shift in the way we think about energy and transportation, and that's pretty exciting. But I also sense a note of caution in your optimism. Are there particular aspects of the green hydrogen transition that give you pause?
I think it's important to be mindful of the potential for greenwashing as green hydrogen gains momentum. We need to be vigilant about ensuring that claims of sustainability are genuine and that environmental and social considerations are not sidelined in the pursuit of profit.
That's a great point. Green hydrogen has the potential to be a powerful force for good, but only if it's developed and deployed responsibly. Now, let's dive deeper into the question of how we can make green hydrogen a reality in a way that benefits everyone. The potential, the challenges, and the ethical considerations. But where do we go from here?
It's a big question, but I think it helps to break it down into smaller pieces. We need to look at what each stakeholder can do to make sure the transition to a green hydrogen economy is responsible.
That's a good point. Let's go back to those key players we talked about, the energy companies, automakers, governments, and researchers. What are some concrete steps each group can take to make this vision a reality?
Let's start with energy companies. They have a huge role to play in scaling up production and making sure that green hydrogen is actually green. You know, it's not enough to just produce hydrogen. It needs to be produced using renewable energy sources and with minimal environmental impact.
Right. So energy companies need to invest heavily in renewable energy infrastructure like solar and wind farms to power their hydrogen production facilities.
Yeah, exactly. And they also need to be transparent about their production methods and environmental impact. You know, allow for independent verification and scrutiny. No greenwashing allowed.
Totally. Consumers need to be confident that the hydrogen they're using is genuinely sustainable.
And it's not just about the production process itself. Energy companies also need to think about the entire life cycle of green hydrogen, from production to transportation to end use, and minimize the environmental footprint at every stage.
So it's about taking a holistic life cycle approach to sustainability. All right, what about automakers? What's their responsibility in this transition?
Automakers need to keep pushing the boundaries of SCEV technology, making these vehicles more efficient, reliable, and affordable for consumers. And they need to work closely with governments and energy companies to make sure that the refueling infrastructure is there.
Right. We got to avoid that chicken and egg problem we talked about earlier. Consumers won't buy hydrogen cars if they can't refuel them easily, and companies won't invest in refueling infrastructure if there's no demand. It's a collaborative dance.
Exactly. And automakers can also play a role in educating consumers about the benefits of FCEVs and addressing any concerns they might have about safety or practicality.
Okay, speaking of education, what about the role of research and development? What kind of breakthroughs are needed to really accelerate the adoption of green hydrogen?
Well, researchers are already making incredible strides in improving the efficiency of electrolysis, exploring alternative production methods like that solar water splitting we talked about, and developing new materials for fuel cells. Continued investment in R&D is critical to driving down costs and making green hydrogen more competitive with traditional fossil fuels.
So it sounds like researchers are really on the front lines of innovation, pushing the boundaries of what's possible, but technology alone isn't enough. What about the role of governments? What kind of policies and regulations can help pave the way for a green hydrogen future?
Governments have a really powerful role to play. They can create incentives for companies to invest in green hydrogen production and infrastructure. They can set fuel efficiency standards that encourage the adoption of FCEVs, and they can invest in public education campaigns to raise awareness about the benefits of green hydrogen.
It's almost like governments are the conductors of an orchestra, bringing all the different instruments together to create a harmonious symphony. They set the tempo, provide support, and make sure everyone is playing in tune.
That's a great analogy, and it's important to remember that governments also have a responsibility to ensure that the transition to a green hydrogen economy is fair and equitable.
Hmm.
You know, that means supporting workers who might be displaced from traditional energy industries, investing in communities that might be disproportionately impacted by the transition, and making sure that the benefits of green hydrogen are shared widely.
So it's not just about technological innovation, it's about social innovation as well. We need to create a system that works for everyone, not just a select few.
Exactly. And I think that brings us back to that initial question. How do we make green hydrogen a reality in a way that benefits everyone? It's a complex challenge. But I'm optimistic with the right mix of technological innovation, political will, and social responsibility.
Yeah.
I believe we can create a truly sustainable and equitable hydrogen future.
It's inspiring to think about the possibilities. Imagine a world where our cars, trucks, planes, and ships are all powered by clean, renewable hydrogen produced using energy from the sun and wind. It sounds like science fiction, but it's within our reach.
It is, and it's a future worth striving for, a future where we can move people and goods around the world without harming the planet, a future where clean energy is accessible to everyone. That's the vision that drives me, and I hope it inspires our listeners as well.
Well said. And to our listeners, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the world of green hydrogen. It's a complex and ever-evolving landscape, but hopefully this conversation has given you a better understanding of the challenges, the opportunities, and the potential of this incredible technology. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep pushing for a more sustainable future.